The amount of teams and people involved was like nothing I have ever experienced before. It was amazing to see how quickly people can pull together such an amazing, moment.
I do feel like each round of creative that we develop is getting stronger and stronger.
We want to make sure that there's a piece for everyone and that they can all feel part of this magical moment that we're creating with Formula One.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. Today's episode is all about speed, scale, and storytelling. We're taking an inside look at how Disney Consumer Products and the Mickey and Friends teams are collaborating with Formula One, one of the fastest growing sports and lifestyle brands in the world. We're exploring what it takes to bring two iconic brands together in ways that feel authentic, innovative, and unmistakably Disney. Joining me today are three leaders who have played key roles in bringing this collaboration to life. Welcome to the podcast, Lara, Siobhan, and Susan. How you guys feeling today?
Doing great.
Excited.
We are also super excited to have you guys here. Now, before we jump into Formula One, we always love to start with a little context for our listeners. So I'm going to challenge each of you to take us through your Disney journey in 60 seconds or less. So how you came to Disney, the roles you've had along the way, a favorite project or two, and now the fun question is, who wants to start?
I was gonna say, I've been here the longest, I believe, so I'll go first. I still didn't know what I wanted to do after I graduated from college, so I headed to Walt Disney World because Disney was one thing I had a passion for. I started out at Pleasure Islands as a ticket hostess, worked in guest relations at the Yacht and Beach Club, and then I moved into public relations as part of guest letters. Then I moved out to California and I worked for the president of Disney Consumer Products. So I like to say I started at the top and worked my way down. So worked for the president, and then I became a licensing coordinator on the standard character team on apparel and accessories. Then was moved into creative resources, then the soft lines product development team, then Disney Baby was also a strategic pillar at one point that I was part of before finally coming back to creative resources, focusing on character art development. And then most recently, I've worked on design development for Disney Princess, Walt Disney Animation Studios, new content, as well as Mickey and Friends and the 20th Century Ice Age films.
That's a powerful 60 seconds, Susan. That's amazing.
There's How so do you follow questions. That up?
Exactly. All right, Lara, it's up to you.
So I started at Disney in 2019. If you can't tell by my accent, I'm from the UK. So I started in the UK brand marketing team. I was an intern focused on Marvel and Star Wars. I've always been a Disney fan, and so I really decided that I loved working on brand marketing. Through a restructure, I was then moved to EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And I was part of their marketing team towards the end of my intern year, and I helped actually establish that team. I then went back to university, finished my final year, and then on the day of my last exam, I was offered a job back in that team. So I went back to the consumer products team for EMEA for 2 years before I became a manager in the newly established global brand marketing team in 2023. So I've been very lucky to follow my director and my vice president throughout my career to date, and they've really kind of championed and supported me through the years. And over the past couple of years, I've had a focus on Mickey and Friends, really focusing on marketing to a young adult audience with a particular focus on events and influencers and social media, and found my passion there.
Very cool. I'm loving all these journeys. And last but not least, take it away.
Yeah, my name is Siobhan. I am the senior manager for global brand commercialization, supporting the Mickey and Friends franchise, specifically the Formula One partnership. After about 6 or 7 years working in the footwear industry, I sought opportunities to really diversify and really look at something new. Luckily, I was able to land here at Disney, working on the branded retail organization, supporting the optimization, streamlining, and growth of the Disney Store franchise. So I was able to successfully help our regional teams in growing the franchise in South Korea, in the Middle East, and then lastly in the Philippines. And then I moved into this new role in which I'm supporting this wonderful partnership with Formula One and get the pleasure of working with Laura and Susan and many others.
So much experience and so much global experience on this episode today. So I'm excited to get into that a little bit as well. All right, so Formula One, it's a global phenomenon, and Mickey and Friends are some of the most recognizable characters in the world. So Lara, from a brand marketing perspective, what made F1 such a compelling partner for Mickey and Friends right now?
ultimately, our aim from a brand marketing point of view is to really drive affinity and a love for our franchises, so for Mickey and Friends, and to really encourage campaign engagement, as I mentioned, with a young adult audience. And all of that is meant to ultimately drive our commercial business because we're part of Disney Consumer Products. Over the past few years, we've been showing up in new places with Mickey and Friends and, you know, doing unexpected things, which includes unexpected partnerships that really put us in the centre of pop culture. Our approach is to really reach all audiences, but with that particular focus on Gen Z. And I feel like the partnership with F1 really ticks those boxes. As you mentioned, F1 is a global sport. They have 24 races, 21 markets, and it's really the perfect global solution to put us in that, you know, relevant space. They are really always on. They are consistently growing at the minute. And with that target audience, I think it's about 1 in 3 of their viewers are under 35. And they've had a huge growth in North America and Asia over the past 5 years. And very much they are a digital powerhouse. They are one of the most engaged sports online. And I think my fact is correct that I think it's about 90% of Gen Z Formula One fans absorb F1 content every single day on their social media. So, you know, they're really starting to reach the audience and it's perfect for us to get those eyeballs. So, yeah, I think we're positioning ourselves in the perfect place where we can deliver brand activations that really captures our target audience's attention.
Man, this is so cool. I can guarantee you that I have some friends who are big F1 fans, so they are a part of that population that you're talking about. All right, Siobhan, from a global commercialization standpoint, what stood out about F1 as a partner when thinking about long-term brand opportunity and global reach?
You know, at the heart of it, it's really placing Mickey at the intersection of sport and entertainment to really drive cultural relevancy for not only Mickey, but Mickey and the Friends franchise, right? So as we look at, you know, Formula One, it was just such a great opportunity to further maintain our relevancy with our core consumers, but then also step outside of that and engage new ones to really grow the business. So like Laura said, we're looking for ways to show up in unexpected ways for our consumer and creating product that will help amplify the marketing perspectives here. I think it made for a very natural fit and honestly one that's going to allow for a lot of long-term growth for the franchise.
Oh yeah, we're definitely excited for it. All right, Susan, what does it look like to translate this big, bold brand vision into assets and products that licensees can actually bring to life, especially when two iconic brands are involved?
So our senior leadership team were the force behind the creative vision deck that was initially created to sort of pitch this idea. And they really pushed the boundaries on how they imagined these two amazing brands coming together. But I'm not sure any of us had a firm grasp of the complexities of really trying to get those ideas fully approved by both Disney and the Formula One team for use on products. So that's sort of when I was pulled in. Everybody was so inspired by the vision deck that they wanted to take those assets that were initially intended for inspiration only and actually apply them on products. So we had to rework a few of the blue sky ideas based on both Disney's and Formula One's core brand guidelines and input from our business affairs team, DCP Legal, and IP Legal partners. So there are a lot of eyes on the creative that we're pushing out, and it's trying to make sure everybody is on board with what we're putting out there. We also had to relook at how we were approaching the way we were representing the characters, because initially we were sort of approaching it, and I know marketing, I believe, still to this day, sort of is having Mickey and Friends as fans of the sport and not really participants in the race. But our licensees are really used to, you know, showcasing the characters, doing fun and exciting things. So we had to, you know, we've been reworking some of those things, and now each of them have their very own race car that we're including in the graphics, things like that.
Very cool. So that's kind of the side of bringing all of this together on the front end. So for now, like when you're supporting this type of project, is it similar, just maintaining those things and having those similar conversations, or is your day-to-day a bit different?
I have to say my day-to-day is very fluid. I believe all of us here are still focused on the ongoing F1 creative needs and marketing needs, but we're simultaneously ramping up for Mickey 100, which will be coming up in 2028. So we're all sort of trying to balance that ship. So very fluid, but very exciting. So it definitely makes the day go by very quickly.
That's awesome. All right. One of the most exciting parts of this collaboration is how Mickey and Friends were reimagined into the world of motorsports. So, Lara, can you walk us through the Fuel the Magic concept and the creative principles that guided how Mickey and Friends show up within the F1 culture?
Yeah, absolutely. So we spent a lot of time building out the concept and our tagline, Fuel the Magic. We announced our partnership back in May last year and then have really been focused on what it means and how the characters show up to our consumers and our audience. Fuel the Magic, it really does specify what we're trying to do. We are trying to add a hint of magic for fans around the world to really enhance their Formula One and their Disney experiences. We ultimately wanted to do that through three different routes. So the first being kind of hero brand activations and stunts like you may have seen in Las Vegas or in Shanghai that really drives that noise and fan excitement. But then we also want to do it through content that really delivers that true Disney storytelling that can really support and engaging fans, particularly those who may not be at track, but even might be in a market that doesn't even have a Formula One race. And then also through product, you know, as Siobhan said, we're really trying to provide a way for fans to further their fandom and to be able to buy pieces that really showcase their excitement about the partnership. But then our part was, okay, how do Mickey and Friends play a role in this? And we decided, I think Susan mentioned, to make them fans of the sport through a few key principles. So really we wanted them to be facilitators and of fandom and celebrators. So they're lovers of the whole sport, not just one particular team. And they really turn every race into a celebration that can be shared. And so they're ultimately community makers. So we want them to sit at the heart of that F1 fandom, really, you know, uniting every kind of supporter.
That's awesome. You talked about the characters kind of sitting literally right at the heart of all of this. Susan, your role sits right at the heart of all of this as well. Creativity, brand integrity, execution. What has it been like, or what's one of the biggest challenges in ensuring that both brands are equally represented while still maintaining the integrity of each?
We've definitely learned a lot through trial and error. So that's where sometimes you need to make some mistakes to even know, like, where you can push and need to pull back. So I do feel like each round of creative that we develop is getting stronger and stronger as the team really understands sort of the boundaries and the rules, as we like to say, of how we can show those two brands together.
Yeah, absolutely. Siobhan, when did global brand commercialization get involved? And then what was your role in shaping the commercial strategy behind the partnership?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't involved from the very start of this partnership when we launched it in May of last year, because I didn't join the team supporting this initiative until September of 2025. But my role today is working back with all of our different regional commercialization teams and licensees to create these compelling product assortments that help further amplify what we're doing on the marketing side.
From your perspective, do you feel like it was an advantage or a disadvantage to not be there from the beginning, but to come in at a later point?
When I first joined, it was as if I was drinking out of a fire hose. You know, it was just a lot of information to absorb all at once. But I think, you know, it was good to come in with a fresh perspective. And I think it has helped the partnership as a whole, because it allowed me to come in and provide some tweaks and recommendations of how we can further streamline this for the broader teams. How can we all work better together and work better with F1?
Yeah, nice. Now, Lara, on the opposite side, you played a key role in the early activations, including Las Vegas. So what did it take to bring that first major moment to life? And why was it such an important milestone for the partnership?
Yeah, it was certainly a key milestone, that's for sure. It was a lot of collaboration, I think teamwork and effort that made it what it was and truly how incredible it was. I have to say the amount of teams and people involved was like nothing I have ever experienced before. It was amazing to see how quickly people can pull together such an amazing, you know, moment that really had true reach. We had a lot of different stakeholders, companies, different time zones. Obviously, it was in Vegas. I'm in the UK. A lot of late nights. But everyone really came together. You know, I discovered teams in Disney that I didn't even know we had. We have fountain experts. We had people in helicopters. I think the team on the ground ran the length of Las Vegas probably 1,000 times over. So kudos to them, because it was a lot, but everyone everyone was really aware of the size of the opportunity and the scale and how innovative really our ideas were. And so it really created a combined Disney F1 team that really had that true team effort to pull off such an amazing experience. And I think it was under 12 weeks that we did this. And normally sometimes it takes years to do experiences like this. And I think it really introduced us to the F1 world with such a big bang, and it really ticked all of our objectives. It drove that, you know, huge reach, that global audience, huge social engagement. It was trending across all of my social platforms. And we also brought in so many different areas of Disney as well. We had Sam Worthington from Avatar there. We had ESPN filming our characters. So it was a huge, you know, team effort. And I think that's what made it, you know, such a big milestone for the partnership.
Can you talk about a little bit more of that pressure of, you know, we're doing something in months and in weeks that sometimes could take years? You know, there's a lot of emotions and things that go with that. How are you able to just navigate those spaces and say, hey, if something happens, I'm not taking it personally, but we are working to build something that's truly special?
Is interesting. And I think I have been a fan of Formula One for over 10 years. I absolutely love it. And so I always go into every day knowing like how much how passionate I am about this partnership. And I think that really helps me. And, you know, seeing the final product of whatever we do just makes it all the hard work worth it. But I think for people who even maybe aren't as much of a big fan of Formula One, when they're working on this partnership, I think they do really see, you know, how many opportunities there are in this space. And I think they really see what it's doing for our brand and how it's really connecting with our audience. And so I think, you know, it's a true worthwhile effort. But like I said, everyone comes together and I think is spurred on by each other. And you know, Disney has so many different things that we're activating all at once, and we're kind of used to having lots of different campaigns launching simultaneously. And yeah, I think that's just the way that we like to tackle our work and keep ourselves busy. And like Susan said, every day goes by very quickly. So, but yeah, I want to say we're used to it.
Yeah, it all comes back to that speed. That's the key for today's interview, handling
really
the speed.
Is.
That's awesome. Okay, so in the intros, you all talked about, in different ways, you know, how your experience globally. Mickey and Friends and F1 both have global scope and worldwide brand recognition. So starting with Siobhan, how does that global scale influence the way you and your team approach the work?
I think that's a really interesting question. When you look at Formula One, I think it's fascinating to see just the reach that they have and how many consumers that they reach on a daily basis, through digital content, but also through all of their 24 races, right? But at the same time, it's important to really keep in mind that they're really impacting so many locally in the cities that they have these races in. So when Laura and team and I are working on the commercial strategy and marketing strategy, we try to keep in mind that, of course, we want to be impacting all of the people that are at the race and within, you know, the extent of the city, but we also want to make sure we're amplifying that for those who can't make it to the race, those who are watching online, who are consuming content digitally. We want to make sure that there's a piece for everyone and that they can all feel part of this magical moment that we're creating with Formula One.
Yeah. Laura, I'm going to ask you the same question additionally, because having this worldwide experience literally coming from a different continent, like there's you see it in a different way and you have an advantage with that. So can you talk about just your perspective of being able to see this from so many different perspectives?
Siobhan touched on it very well. But I think what we've really realized, and I think I've worked in the global team for 2 or 3 years now. And I think as much as we try to deliver a global approach, we really have to be aware of the local nuances as well, and how each market is truly different. And we're learning that, you know, we've just been to Shanghai, we've seen what a race looks like there, even how our teams operate there. You know, they did such an amazing job in Shanghai and it was incredible, but the audience was very different to the audience in Las Vegas, for example. You know, people from the different things that they love, the products that they buy, you know, how they queue up, everything is so different. And so I think we really have to try and be as knowledgeable as we can and take all of these things into consideration when we're planning our activations and our marketing and creating our product, to make sure that it not just works for, you know, the globe, but really works for every individual audience and those differences. So I think we can always be learning more. And I think as we go through this whole season, this is our first season with F1, and we start to go to all of the different regions and we learn all of these different things, I think by next year we will be experts.
Yeah. Okay, playing off of the regions. So just a fun question for each of you. We're going to start with Susan. So as you think about where this could go and how you interact with different cities, countries, continents, like, is there a place that either you haven't been or that Formula One hasn't had an interaction with that you would love to see and why? Or is there a place that you would love to go back to and say, I want to do a little bit more in one of these places?
I haven't been very many places, I will admit wholeheartedly, but I think if I were going to pick one of the races to go to, I'd probably want to go either the Shanghai race or Tokyo.
Very cool. Siobhan, I'm going to you.
I think the race that I would love to go to and activate at would be Monaco. It's completely different from every single race. I know that's such a cliche thing to say because it's such a high visibility moment. And for me personally, just to be able to go there would be phenomenal. But I think also, you know, activating at Shanghai again, you know, I think we've learned a lot from our activations this year. And I think for next year, you know, if we were to activate there, I think we can do something above and beyond what we did last time and really focus on the things that are really going to move the needle for them.
All right, Lara, bring us home.
I'm going to have to go with Mexico, I think. I've been doing all my research into all these different races and the fandom and, you know, the audience. Mexico, I think they have over 300,000 attendees over the race weekend. And from what I hear, it is a party. The off-track experiences, just as much as the racing in Mexico, I think must be an incredible experience. I think that would be on my list.
Well, as someone who hasn't had a chance to do any of these, they're all on my list now. So tell me when to pack and I'm going. I would love it. Okay, so as we look ahead, Lara, starting with you, what excites you about the future of just this partnership, generally speaking, and where it could go next?
There's so many different things that I'm excited about. You know, we're starting to have more and more conversations. But I think as I'm starting to plan out our next season, I think one thing that I'm really excited about is actually the opportunity for digital content. You know, I think this year we're really focused on driving that brand awareness and having these big stunt moments, which of course, you know, we really want to continue. But as I've started to do more and more research and really look into our target audience, I really see the potential for digital storytelling and social media. And I think that is something that we really need to hone in on. And it really just powers that engagement. And I think more and more people from, you know, all these different markets, race or not, can really understand what Fuel the Magic is and really start to engage with it in their own way. And I just think it opens up so many more avenues and opportunities for us.
All right. Perfect. Susan, same for you. What are you looking forward to?
I am so super proud of the creative team that I work with. They're constantly asking questions. Where can we push the boundaries and partnering with our corporate brand management team and really bringing amazing creative to life that supports the excitement of Formula One races and the fun of our characters.
Yeah. And Siobhan, what about you?
We're in the midst of really working on our 2027 strategy, as Laura mentioned. You know, I think we started off this year with an amazing partnership with Gentle Monster. I think everyone's aware of the huge Mickey that was in Seoul and the Mickeys that were placed alongside the car in their flagship stores in Shanghai and Seoul. And I think that set the bar really high for us internally of what this partnership could be and how impactful it could be, not only from a product standpoint, from a marketing standpoint as well. And, you know, we're really challenging ourselves to think bigger next year and think, you know, how can we even take that one step further. So I think that's something I've been looking at as a challenge for me, but also one that I'm really excited to tackle. Another thing is, you know, how do we integrate from a charitable component? Obviously, Disney has a longstanding partnership with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And, you know, how do we integrate that into our plans going forward to also give back, you know, to some of the fans that don't have the ability to go to these races, don't have the ability to even watch some of these races. So I think it's how do we provide, you know, the Fuel the Magic feeling to everyone everywhere and not just those that are going to the races.
That's cool. Making it more accessible and thinking about creative ways for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So by the time this episode comes out, it will be the week of the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. I know we can't give away everything. You may not be able to tell me all the cool things, but generally speaking, what are you excited for that moment?
I'm very excited for our first activation properly with F1 Academy. For those who aren't aware, F1 Academy is an all-female driving series with the mission to get a female driver in Formula One by 2030. They are kind of an extension of Formula One, and we're hugely excited to partner with them alongside Minnie and Daisy to really inspire the next generation of women, whether it be on or off track. And I think we're really excited to see that come to life with a few activations and pieces of content that will hopefully come throughout the rest of the season.
Siobhan, Susan, anything you're looking forward to?
I want to echo what Laura said. I think we're incredibly excited for the partnership that we have with the F1 Academy. I think there's so many ways in which we can, you know, further enhance and empower women in motorsport. I'm excited personally for all the product that we have coming out. I think we've, you know, worked with a couple key licensees to bring some product to the table that I think is going to be really exciting for our consumers, but really captures the essence of what F1 Academy is, as well as, you know, that power that really that Minnie Mouse exudes. And I think that'll allow us to really engage with the consumer a little bit better and a little bit more uniquely that maybe other brands can't.
All right, Susan, what you got?
I hate to be a tag along, but I'm excited about the F1 Academy things because that is the first sort of creative that's heading out that the team did have the luxury of the learnings from the first few rounds of our F1 collaboration. So we have really strong creative assets that are applied to the product.
Absolutely. All right, last question. So for someone who is completely brand new to Formula One, all things, why should they get into this life? And why should they just get into the excitement and see what it's all about?
I mean, I am a fan, so I think, you know, I can sell it quite well. But Formula One, I think, really sits at the like epicenter of culture. It's not just racing on a track anymore. You have drivers, you have fashion connections, there's so many different partnerships and brands that are really getting involved, like Disney. And I think, you know, it's not just the excitement on track, but it's also off track. And I think you can really get behind the storytelling of F1 as well. It's something that maybe not all sports have, but I do have to drop in that the partnership with Disney, I think, is something that people really should watch. I think we're going to grow and grow, and I think we're really going to become something that's a true global partnership as the season goes on. I think it's going to be a full 360 partnership that people are going to love.
Spoken like the true fan that you are, well said. If you're not sold, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that was perfect. Do either of you have anything that you wanted to add in?
Coming from someone who went to their first race, you know, back in 2015, I've been a fan ever since. So I'm a little biased, and obviously I work at Disney, so I'm even more biased. But I think honestly, with Disney and Formula One, we have an incredible slate of activations that are planned, as Laura mentioned, some that will be expected, some unexpected. And you know, there's a lot of surprises coming soon. So stay tuned, and I hope everyone can kind of get involved in F1 and really feel the magic that we're trying to fuel.
Same. I know a lot of people are looking forward to whatever's next. So stay tuned for those surprises. Susan, you want to bring us home?
The one thing I think that, you know, Disney definitely brings to F1 and to myself, because I'll admit I was not an F1 fan, is the accessibility to the sport. I mean, Disney feels accessible to everybody, and our being part of this F1 collaboration really makes it accessible to so many more people that might not have thought of looking into the sport.
Perfect. Guys, this has been such a fascinating look at the behind the scenes of a truly unique collaboration. So thank you to all three of you for sharing how brand strategy, creativity, and cross-team collaboration all come together to fuel the magic at Disney, even at 200 miles per hour. Thank you, guys. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Life at Disney. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. If you'd like to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit disneycareers.com. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaron Kaufman and Sarah Monier. Editing and social promotions by Hannah Butler. Design and graphics by Delaney Regnier and Elisa Nikishin. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. And a special thank you to the teams at Disney Consumer Products.